listening to the John Barrett Leadership Podcast, where you'll hear great ideas, insight, and inspiration to level up your leadership ability.
Hey, everyone, it's John Barrett on the John Barrett Leadership Podcast. It is so good to have you here again listening. If it's your first time, welcome out. We want to help level you up so you don't level out in your influence and your impact around the world and what you're doing to be a better leader. We want to help you in the whole process. If you're listening again, welcome back to another episode. It's so good to have you here wherever you are at. If you're on the treadmill, if you are working out, if you are on the road, if you're at home, if you're at the office, wherever you may be listening, I hope this is going to add value to you today. Hey, a few things before we get started with our topic today. I've got a new YouTube video platform that has come out, Level Up Your Leadership with John Barrett. I would love for you to go check it out. You can go to my website, johnbarrettleadership.com, to go check out the videos, or just go straight to YouTube, Level Up Your Leadership with John Barrett. There are videos, they're anywhere from probably 6 to 12 minute long videos that are just ideas to help level you up. In fact, what's really cool is that you can watch them together as a team. If you've got a team of people in your department, in your organization, and if you go to the website, you can go download the Level Up Guide, which has got group questions and an application section, all kinds of things for you to utilize this with your team to watch the videos in person together or virtually or whatever it is, and then be able to have some conversation to help you guys get better and refine yourself. Because here's what I know, teams that grow together win together. And if you're not growing together, you're not going to win together. You're not going to be the best, W-I-N, win together. So you've got to grow together. This is a great way to do it. It's a great way to spark some conversation, just to hear about how your team is doing, some of the things and ideas that you can take from the videos and help you level up and get better. All right, today I want to talk to you about how to lead when you're out of gas. Now, this is something that we all face as a leader. I don't know about you, but I know in my life I have faced many times where I need to lead. I need to be there for those around me, but I don't have any gas left in the tank. I'm not excited. I'm discouraged. I'm worn out. I don't have what it takes. I don't have the energy, or my focus is somewhere else. We've all been there. In fact, I know that you've been there. In fact, you may be there right now, where you are trying to lead a team and you're going through all kinds of junk in your organization. You're going through hard times, or maybe it's just challenging things in your personal life, whatever it is. But you are trying to lead and you're out of gas. You're not excited. You don't have what it takes. You feel like you're on empty. You feel like you're coasting and you're just on fumes. We've all been there. And when you run out of gas, it's a terrible feeling, because you feel like, oh, great, this is so disruptive. How am I going to get to where we need to go? Listen, as a leader, you're going to face this. We've all been there, that place where you have to lead, but there's nothing left in your tank. Listen, the responsibilities, it's like they keep piling up, but you can't seem to get motivation through it. Then on top of it all, your team is looking at you to guide them, and they're looking at you to give them direction. They're looking at you to be the cheerleader, and you're going, I can't even guide myself right now. I'm not even excited. I don't even know what's going to happen. I don't have all the answers. I don't know what to do. So first of all, let me say this. We're going to unpack. I'm going to give you four ideas I'm going to give you on how to lead when you're out of gas. But before we do that, I just want to lay some foundation and say this. We all have seasons where we're out of gas. So I want you to normalize this for a minute. I'm not saying that we should live there. I'm not saying it's okay to be out of gas. But listen, you are going to have times in your life where you get there. We've all felt it. If you haven't felt it yet, you will, and you, I'm sure, have felt it again, and if you're not there right now, it's going to come back at some point. You're going to find yourself down the line, and you're going to go, wow, John, I am trying to lead, but I'm out of gas. Now, listen, here's what I want you to know. Running out of gas is not a sign of bad leadership or being a failure. I want you to hear that. Do not get this mythical idea in your mind that leaders somehow every day just wake up ready to take on the world, excited, optimistic, positive. They never have a bad day. That is such a lie. That's such a myth that will literally limit you. It'll keep you from your potential, because you'll always feel like you're never enough, that you're a failure, that you're not as good as quote unquote these other leaders and all that. Listen, don't do it. It is a common valley that every leader goes through on the journey. In fact, you're going to go through many levels, many valleys of this on your journey, where you just don't feel up to it. You don't feel like you've got what it takes. Listen, I just want to say, don't beat yourself up. Do not come down on yourself. Don't feel like a failure. Don't feel like that nobody else has bad days except for you or any of that. That is all a lie. It's all junk. It's a myth. It doesn't make sense. So first of all, I just want to encourage you a little bit and say, listen, we've all been there. We'll be there again, and you might be there right now. It's okay. Don't let it derail you from moving forward and doing what you know you need to do. All right, there is hope and there's a way to break through without breaking down. But you've got to understand, what do I need to do when I'm out of gas? Right? You can't just freak out. You can't get on the side of the road when you run out of gas in your car and go, I don't know what to do. What do I do? And just break down. You got to take the right steps to get gas and do what you need to do. Get back on the road. Same thing with leadership. Don't freak out. Don't panic. Don't do any of that. Just take a deep breath. Okay? Because we're going to unpack four thoughts here on how you lead when you're out of gas. Number one is this. This is going to sound so simple, but we need to talk about this before we even get there, is this. Keep your gas tank full. So if you want to lead without running out of gas, first step is make sure that you're always filling your tank. Now, I know this sounds simple, but listen, a lot of leaders get caught on empty because they haven't taken the time to keep their tank full. There was a problem early on because they didn't stop to refuel. They're out of gas and they're wondering, why am I out of gas? What's going on? And they're freaking out and they're confused about what's going on. But if you'll just back up and be like, hey, remember those five gas stations you passed along the road on your journey of leadership? Remember when you didn't take that vacation? Remember when you didn't take that day off? Remember when you worked that all-nighter and you just kept saying to yourself that you're gonna get there one day, as soon as you get caught up, you're gonna take a vacation, but you never did? You were just passing gas stations all along the journey that you should have stopped and filled up. But because you didn't, you found yourself on empty. Now, I'm not there to discourage you or come down on you or say, you know, you're a failure or any of that. I'm just saying, if you want to not run out of gas, the first step is make sure you keep your gas tank full. So you need to make sure that just like a car needs constantly refilling, you need to refill your tank all the time. You can't go drive a car and go 500 miles without pulling over to a gas station to refuel. Your life and your leadership, they operate from the same principle. Without consistent refueling, you'll eventually break down. I promise you that. Most leaders that I get in touch with that reach out to me that are having troubles with this stuff, if we just look back, it's like, look, you didn't take time to refuel. That's why you're at where you're at. So you've got to identify and be intentional about what you need to do to fill your tank. Everyone's tank is different. Everyone's motivational tank is different. We all take different types of fuel, right? Some are unleaded, super unleaded, some are premium, some are this. It doesn't matter. What matters is you need to know what fills your tank. You need to know what fuel you need specifically in order to be your best. And then you've got to make sure you schedule it in as often as you can. So, what is it that gives you energy? Do not let that thing go. Maybe it's taking a break. Maybe it's a vacation. Maybe it's getting up from your desk and taking a walk around the neighborhood, around the office, around outside, whatever it is. Maybe it's being able to listen to podcasts like this and other motivational things and leadership things that are going to help you improve and get better. And they tend to kind of get you motivated and fired up. But before long, you haven't listened to anything. You haven't read a book in 6 months because you've been so busy. You've not watched that video. You've not done the things necessary in order for you to keep from getting at your worst. So if there are certain hobbies that refresh you, you need to schedule it in consistently. If it has been more than a month that you've done one of your favorite hobbies that really refuel you, they help you kind of get energy and just take your mind off of things. If you've not done it in 4 weeks or so, I'm telling you, you're probably putting it off. You've got to figure out ways to do it. In fact, I would say this, every 2 to 3 weeks, you should be doing something very specifically and intentionally that helps you refuel. Now, I mean every 2 or 3 weeks. I'm not every day we should be doing some of that, just taking a break, all of that, the little things. But I'm talking about something bigger, something like, you know, hey, I'm going to take a half day here and go do something. Or, you know what, I'm going to be really intentional this weekend to go do something with my family or myself or whatever it is that I know is going to give me fuel and kind of get me back to where I need to be. You shouldn't go more than 2 or 3 weeks at most without something you're looking forward to on the calendar. If you don't have something you're looking forward to on the calendar, like getting with a friend, going out, doing this, I mean, having a day or whatever it is, an evening to do this, it can be big or small. If you don't have something every 2 or 3 weeks at least that you're looking forward to on your calendar, you are not doing what you need to do to keep yourself in the right rhythm, okay? So I should be able to look on your calendar and I should be able to sit down with you right now and say, tell me what you're doing in the next 2, 3 weeks. I'll even be generous and say, okay, next 4 weeks. Just tell me something that you're really looking forward to that's on your calendar that you're being intentional about that's going to help refuel you. If you don't have that on there, then you need to get it on there because that is a big part of keeping your tank full, okay? Don't go more than weeks and weeks without refueling your tank with something big. Now, don't go more than a few days without doing something really small, like reading a book, listening to a podcast, taking a walk, doing what it is that you need to do, watch something or, you know, get away with somebody or have a dinner or lunch or whatever it is. Do something that's going to help you refuel. So make sure that you are keeping your tank full. That's step number one. Number two is this: keep your optimism full. So not only keep your gas tank full, keep your optimism full. Now, deal with yourself before you deal with others. When you've got a lead and you're out of gas, you got to kind of look in the mirror and say, okay, what am I doing to lead myself? You've got to look for opportunities and the obstacles. You've got to understand that you've got to start with you. Where is your optimism? All right, so you might have to kind of have a slap to the face to yourself and, you know, kind of a come to Jesus moment with yourself and say, listen, pull yourself together, pick yourself up, it's time. I love when I get on the call with leaders and they're going through a hard time. I don't love that, but when they're going through a hard time, what I love to do is this, is just to be a voice of perspective for them, to say, listen, you got this. Let right now our conversation be a moment in time where you draw a line in the sand and you say, I'm resetting and I'm moving forward today. I love those conversations, and I love it when people come into our coaching sessions and they're feeling down, and all of a sudden they walk away saying, John, thank you. I needed that. I just needed the reset. Listen, sometimes you just got to reset yourself. You got to look in the mirror and just kind of pick yourself up and say, listen, you got this. You can do this. Even when you don't feel like it, you keep saying it. Listen, behavior is an overflow of belief. If you don't believe, if your optimism isn't strong that you can do this, you got this, then all of a sudden your behavior is going to start to falter. Listen, you've got to begin to have an abundance mindset and understand you have an immense potential within you. You have greatness within you. And I'm not just saying that motivationally. I'm saying it truthfully. You've got greatness within you. Do not let situations and circumstances pull it away and steal it from you. Listen, you've got to believe in yourself. You've got this. Even if things look terrible in front of you, listen, you know what you got? You have the ability to figure it out. You're going to be okay because you're going to find a way to make it work and make it happen. I tell you that. I promise you that. Listen, the future belongs to the abundantly optimistic. Those that literally keep their optimism full. I'm not saying you're going to go through hard times where it's hard to keep your optimism full because it looks so bleak what's in front of you. But listen, you've got to begin to work on yourself. I love what Ralph Waldo Emerson, the poet, said. He said, enthusiasm is one of the most powerful engines of success. When you do a thing, do it with all your might. Put your whole soul into it. Stamp it with your own personality. Be active. Be energetic. Be enthusiastic and faithful, and you will accomplish your object. Nothing great was ever achieved without enthusiasm. Wow, what powerful words from Ralph Waldo Emerson. I love that last line. Nothing great was ever achieved without enthusiasm. So you've got to be enthusiastic. That means that you got to pick yourself up. Again, keep your tank full. Look in the mirror. Have a come to Jesus meeting with yourself and say, okay, you can wallow around, but you got to move on. My mentor, Dr. John C. Maxwell, the famous leadership guru, he said this, I'll never forget, years ago. He said he gives himself, he calls it the 24-hour rule. He says, I give myself 24 hours to gripe, moan, complain, be upset, be frustrated, be discouraged, whatever I got to do to run through those emotions. But he said, I give myself 24 hours from the moment something happened. And after that 24 hours, he says, he literally looks in the mirror, looks at his clock and says, all right, John, time to pick yourself back up and you're going to move forward. So what is your rule? What are you going to do? It's okay. We all need the process a little bit. Sometimes we just need to yell. Sometimes we just need to, you know, kind of sit down and waller for a minute, right? We're human. I get that. But you got to kind of have a time frame on it. You say, whoa, I can't live there, right? I can't live there in that, right? You know the 23rd Psalm, right? If you're familiar with the Bible and David in the 23rd Psalm, a very famous one. He says, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. Notice that David didn't say, though I camp in the valley of the shadow of death. He said, I walk through the valley. Notice that he kept walking through. He didn't camp out and just live there. Listen, you're going to go through the valley. You're going to go through the valley of the shadow of death. It's going to feel like that in your business, in your organization, in your life. But listen, you keep walking. Winston Churchill said this. I love it. He said, if you're going through hell, keep going. Right? That is, as I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I'm not going to camp, but I'm going to keep walking through it. If you're going through hell, keep going. So listen, keep your optimism full. Number three is this, keep your honesty full. Ooh, what do I mean by that? Now, this is more of a leadership thing here. The first two were about you. This one's about others. Listen, in a world that's becoming increasingly untruthful with media and politics and manipulation, and all, it's hard to know what's real anymore, right? Like with AI stuff and that. I mean, it's crazy. It's getting a little scary sometimes where you're like, wow, what's real? What's not real? What is this? What is that? Listen, the majority of people are more skeptical than ever before. Probably throughout all history. I mean, you could probably say the majority of people are just skeptical people today because we've just been bombarded with lies and all this stuff. Listen, here's what you've got to do as a leader. You've got to be honest with your team. When you're going through a hard time and your organization's going through a hard time, you've got to be truthful. People want leaders that are truthful. They don't want, you know, untruthful, manipulative, kind of hidden leaders that aren't vulnerable. Right. I mean, Dr. Brené Brown has helped us so much with this, with, you know, vulnerability is a superpower, right? It's not something that is bad. So be honest with your team. I love what author Simon Sinek said this. I love this. He said, it's better to disappoint people with the truth than to appease them with a lie. That's powerful for a leader. Better to disappoint people with the truth than appease them with a lie. Listen, as a leader, you don't have to walk around making up stuff and lying to your team. Listen, you can be honest with them. Hey, we're going through a hard time, guys. We're going through hell. We're going through the valley of the shadow of death. We're going through some hard times. So you can be honest with them, but listen, make sure that in that honesty that you're optimistic in there. And again, I'm not saying be manipulative. I'm not saying make it up, but you've got as the leader to deal with yourself before you deal with others. But when you go deal with others, now that you've dealt with yourself, you're going to be optimistic in that honesty. So don't sugarcoat things. It's okay, right, to tell people what is going on and let them know the true facts. In fact, people are going to be more proud of you and want to serve you and want to follow you as a leader when you're honest with them, okay? So be honest. Now, let me say a little caveat about honesty, okay? Here's the caveat to this idea about being honest and truthful about everything that's going on. Listen, here's a powerful statement. Everything that's said needs to be true, but not everything that's true needs to be said. I'm going to say that again because I want you to get this. Everything that's said needs to be true. That's a fact. But not everything that's true needs to be said, especially all at once. So listen, when you're honest with your team, that doesn't mean that you've got to just open up the entire book and just lay out everything on them that's going to be maybe a little overwhelming to them as a team. So you've got to understand, right? You wouldn't go to your kid, your toddler, and give them dinner and say, here's a 16-ounce piece of steak, you know, eat it, you know, and they can't even cut it up. They don't even know what to do. It's too much. You got to cut it in the bite-sized pieces for them sometimes. So listen, just like we do that with kiddos, sometimes you got to do that with your team. And I'm not belittling your team. I'm not saying that they're not able to handle it. I'm not doing any of that negative kind of speaking. I'm just saying that sometimes from their perspective, they need to take truth in at bite-sized things at times, right? They need to understand that it's hard when they hear a lot of information come at once. Sometimes you've had the ability to process what's going on. They haven't. So yes, you need to be honest, but you need to do it in bite-sized chunks, right? Progressively, not holistically. And what I mean by that is you don't just have to throw them the 16-ounce steak and say, drop a bomb on them all at once. you may want to kind of go at this thing a little bit more progressively. Here's a little more that I'm going to divulge to you. Here's a little bit more about what's going on. And over time, begin to open up a little bit more so that they can digest that truth and that honesty before you cram more and more and more and more into them and overwhelm them. So this is something that there's not a fine science to this. This is an art of, okay, how do I be honest and vulnerable with my team, but at the same time, understanding that I've also got to be the leader, and I've got to make sure that I give that information to them in bite-sized chunks so that it's not overwhelming, that they have time to process so they can get to be where they need to be. So keep your honesty full, but make sure that you do it in bite-sized chunks with truth and honesty, especially as things are going on. Now, only you can be the decipherer of what that looks like. You've got to kind of determine, okay, how much do I share, how much do I not in that? Now, as a general rule of thumb, I would rather you lean in error on the side of being more honest and open than you do of holding things back. Don't make it so bite-sized that you're barely giving them any information, and now you're just stringing them along. They're in the dark. They have no idea what's going on, but they know that you're doing it, that you're stringing them along. So that's something that you've got to weigh out. That's something that you've got to learn and lean into and say, okay, what more does my team need to know? How do I work with them and give them enough information without overwhelming them and be honest with them without overwhelming them? That's something that is more of an art than a science, but I just want to encourage you to think about it when it comes to your leadership. Last one is this: keep your focus full. Keep your focus full. When you're leading and you're out of gas, if there is ever a time that you better focus in on what's the most important things, it's now. Don't try and do everything when you're in a season of emptiness. Focus on the main things. In fact, keep the main thing the main thing. Think about what is the most important thing that has to happen right now. Sometimes when you're in that season, when you're out of gas, you might have to let some other things go. Some things that it's not the main thing. They're the minors, and you got to focus on the majors. So don't focus on the minors. You focus on the majors, and you let the minors kind of take care of themselves. Life moves in seasons. Leadership moves in seasons. You've got to recognize what season you're in and not force something that doesn't fit. I see a lot of leaders that there's all this pressure on them of like, gosh, I'm out of gas, but I feel like I got to do 25 things all perfectly well. Listen, I'm just going to be honest with you. I know this is easier said than done, but you might have to strip that down to just 12 things that you do and just say, look, I've just got to focus on these 12. These are the most important things that have to get done. I would love to be able to focus on these other things, but I don't have the capacity right now. I am out of gas, and you've got to be willing to not only let yourself or give yourself permission to do that, but you may have to communicate with those around you as well. Listen, I'm going to be honest with you. Here's where I'm at. I see a lot of leaders that are struggling because they are out of gas, they are overwhelmed, but they are not willing to go have a conversation with their superiors, those above them. Maybe it's the CEO, the president, whatever it is that's driving them, and they're scared. They're scared of their job. They're scared of being vulnerable and open. They're scared that they're not going to look like they got it all together, all this stuff. But because of that, they're just running themselves on the ground. And their superior, their CEO or president or whatever, they think everything's good. They're like, oh, apparently they're fine. I mean, they're not saying anything. Listen, if you'll just have that honest conversation, I'm not saying it might be a little bit risky, but I'll say this. In my experience, 8 out of 10 times, maybe even 9, when I see high-level leaders go to their superiors and just say, listen, I'm overwhelmed. I'm out of gas. I'm just going to be honest with you here. I'm struggling right now. I would say 8 to 9 times out of 10, I have seen that in very, very well. Where the CEO or the president looks and says, hey, I appreciate you being honest with me. And because they like you, you've got influence in that, they're willing to work with you. They needed to hear that. Very rarely have I ever seen it gone the other way, where someone just said, well, I just don't think you're the right fit and we don't like this and all that. And by the way, side note, if it does go that way, can I just say this? If you're going to come and be that honest with them about where you're at and they're going to respond that poorly to you, I don't think you need to be there anyway, to be real honest. You're not in the right environment where you're ever going to grow and you're ever going to sustain or be scalable in what you do and sustainable in what you do. So listen, if you go to your superiors and they're just, you know, they get rid of you, or they say, well, we just don't think you're a very good fit and all that. I'm just telling you right now, if they're that poorly responding to you with when you come with that openness about where you're at and they don't work with you on how to get better, you probably don't want to stick around for the long haul. That is not a good ecosystem for growth. Just side note, by the way. So it's a win-win. If you go and you open up about that conversation and figure out what you can do to work together to kind of get back to where you need to be, that's a win, because they're going to be aware of it now. They're going to help you. And if even if it comes back and backfires on you and they handle it poorly, I'm telling you it's a win, because you don't want to be there for the long haul anyway, because they're going to do nothing but burn you out to the end. So keep your focus full. You've got to have honest conversations. You got to go to the right people and open up. You need coaches. You need mentors. You need people around you that are going to help you. You can't do this alone. Listen, leadership and success is not some Rambo kind of thing where you're out there on your own, taking on the world by yourself. Nobody does that that's successful. If you want to be successful, you've got to get around coaches, mentors, those that are going to help you. They're going to give you perspective. They're going to help you be able to be encouraged. They're going to help you identify areas of your life where you can improve, you can get better, and all the things that you need to do. We have to have them. Listen, highly successful people have coaches. They just do. If you go look at highly successful people, I promise you that there are multiple coaches and multiple mentors in their life. That is a fact. If you go look and you go research all the great people that are successful out there, just go look. You will find that they all have coaches and mentors. I was just listening the other day about some actors. They're at the top of their game, the highest paid actors, and they've been acting for over 20, 30 years. And you know what? When they go on set, they still have an acting coach that helps them with their role to this day after, you know, 50 movies. And I was listening to vocal coaches, those that are Grammy Award-winning recording artists that have had all kinds of success. They're at the top of their game. Every time they go into the studio, guess what they have? A vocal coach that's helping them get better. It is a fact that highly successful people surround themselves with others that are going to help them grow and develop. If you are going to be your best, when you're out of gas, who are you leaning on? Who are your coaches and mentors? Who is your support system around you that's going to help you get back on track? If you don't have them, my friend, you are not going to be at your best, and you are not going to get your tank full so that you keep that gas tank going. Because you're going to find yourself out of gas again because you don't have the support system around you. So make sure that you get around other people, that you get around coaches and mentors that are going to help you keep you focused. We can't do it alone. You got to get help. And when we do it alone, here's what happens, guys. We get clouded because we don't have anyone to help sharpen us and to help us get better perspective. And so what happens is we get stressed. And when we get stressed, guess what happens? Cortisol, the stress hormone, just we know this, right, from a physiological level, the stress hormone cortisol begins to be on the rise in your body. You begin to have an over amount of production of cortisol, and what happens is your stress goes up. When your stress goes up, you don't think clearly. You're not seeing things clearly. You're beginning to worry. That stress hormone causes all kinds of that. You don't sleep good. You're making worse decisions. You're not able to be productive. So listen, how do you get that down? You begin to fill your tank. You begin to keep your optimism full. You make sure that you're honest with your team and that you keep your focus full. You get around coaches, mentors that are going to help you get perspective so you don't get stressed out. Guys, if you'll do this, and I'm sure there's all kinds of other things, other tips out there you could do, but I just wanted to share those four with you. If you'll begin to do those four steps and think about it, you are going to keep yourself from getting to that place where you're out of gas. And when you are out of gas, you are going to know what to do so that you can get back on track and help yourself out. Guys, I hope this was helpful. I always love adding value to you and helping you here on the podcast. I hope that it's helpful. Share it with your friends. Leave a review. Give us some feedback on how it's going. Ideas for topics in the future. I would love to hear from you. Reach out, john@johnbarrettleadership.com. You can reach out to me personally and give me some thoughts and ideas of what you want to hear about. I would love it. Use this with your team. Go check out all the other resources that I've got where I can help you get better in what you do. Listen, keep your head up, Keep moving forward. You got this. Even if you're out of gas, you got this.
Thanks for listening to the John Barrett Leadership Podcast. To get more of John's resources, visit www.johnbarrettleadership.com.